I'm going to invite you to John chapter 21, and if you want to look at the Bible in front of you or your own, or you want to watch it on the big screen, we're going to look at John 21, and I'm going to challenge us today with the same words that Jesus challenged Peter with when he said, "Do you love me?" And so, ironically enough, it goes right along with what they were talking about in Sunday school. It goes right along with Brother Al sharing from the Gideon work. And what I have to say goes right along with all of this, but I think that's just kind of how God works. You see, John talked about the times that Jesus reappeared to them, and this is the third occasion where Jesus reappeared to the disciples during a time of 40 days prior to his ascension once and for all. So during that 40 days, he wasn't there continuously, but he was there intermittently. John records three. This is the third one. So I'm reading from the New Living Translation today, and it says this: "Later, Jesus appeared again to the disciples beside the Sea of Galilee. This is how it happened. Several of the disciples were there: Simon Peter, Thomas, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee," that's James and John, "and two other disciples. And Simon Peter said, 'I'm going fishing.' 'We'll come too,' they all said. So they went out in the boat, but they caught nothing all night." Now you may recall that when Jesus come on to the scene earlier on in the gospel writings, you will remember that he encountered Andrew and Peter, and he encountered James and John. In one instance it says, as they were repairing their nets, and they were preparing to go back to sea to fish, and he said to them simply, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." That was 3 years ago already. Jesus had died. Their hopes were drained. Jesus had risen. Their hopes were ignited again. But they did not see him continuously during this 40 days. And here is a time in which Peter and some of the boys, were sitting out there by the lake, and he simply said, "I'm going fishing." They fished all night, but they caught nothing. And at dawn, the Bible says, Jesus was standing on the beach, but the disciples couldn't see who he was, so he called out, "Fellows, they're 100 yards away or so, maybe 100 meters even. They're out there in the dawn, in perhaps the pre-dawn light. Have you caught any fish?" This person is yelling from the beach. They call back, "No." Then he said to them, now imagine you've just fished all night. You haven't caught a thing. And here's somebody on the beach shouting out to you, "Have you caught any fish?" And of course the reply was no. So he says, "Then throw your net on the right side." Can you imagine what they thought about that? We just fished all night, including the right side. We've tried the right side. But he said, "Throw your net on the right side of the boat and you'll get some." So they did, and they couldn't haul in the net because there were so many fish in it. Then the disciples Jesus loved said to Peter, that's John. By this time, I have a feeling he's starting to sense this guy on the shore, he's somebody. And he said to Peter, "It's the Lord." Why? Because they'd fished all night long and hadn't caught a thing. And he said, "Throw it on the other side, throw it on the right side." And all of a sudden, the net was full. And I liken that to when Jesus enters your life and mine, things happen. Things happen. Sometimes inexplainable things happen. When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his tunic, for he had stripped that off for work. He jumped into the water and he headed to shore. The others stayed with the boat and pulled the loaded net to the shore, for they were only about 100 yards from shore. When they got there, they found breakfast waiting for them, fish cooking over a charcoal fire and some bread. "Bring some of the fish you've just caught," Jesus said. So Simon Peter went aboard and dragged the net to the shore. There were 153 large fish, and yet the net hadn't torn. "Now come and have some breakfast," Jesus said. None of the disciples dared to ask him, "Who are you?" They knew it was the Lord. Then Jesus served them the bread and the fish. This was the third time Jesus had appeared to his disciples since he had been raised from the dead. And so they've had their breakfast. They know good and well who it is at this point. And Jesus, the Bible says, after breakfast, Jesus asked Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," Peter replied. "You know I love you." Now, I don't know if Jesus was just thinking about last night when Peter said, "Let's go fishing." I don't know if Jesus was thinking about the time just a couple of weeks perhaps prior when Peter denied him three times. I'm not sure what Jesus was thinking about at this moment, but I know what his point was. He said, "Peter, do you really love me?" And his reply was quite simple, "Yes. Yes, Lord, I love you." And he comes back to him and says, "Then feed my lambs." Peter, Jim, Christians, followers of Jesus, preach the gospel, heal the sick, give sight to the blind, tell of the good news. Jesus repeated the question, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" "Yes, Lord," Peter said, "you know I love you." "Then take care of my sheep," Jesus said. A third time he asked him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was hurt that Jesus asked the question a third time. He said, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." And Jesus said again, "Then feed my sheep." "I tell you the truth," Jesus said, "when you were young, you were able to do as you liked. You dressed yourself and you went wherever you wanted to go. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and others will dress you and take you where you don't want to go." Jesus said this to let him know by what kind of death he would glorify God. Then Jesus told him, "Follow me." He referred to the time when his hands would be bound and he too would be drug off to the cross, Peter, to be crucified for Jesus. Remember the story? He doesn't talk about it here, but you've heard about it. And Peter was crucified upside down for his faith in Christ. And as I look at this account, I apply this question to myself and to the church in America today. This church, your church, ours, mine, ours, the church in America, when Jesus says, "Do you love me?" And I ask myself for me, and I ask myself for our church and our churches in America, do you really love Jesus? Or do we have the tendency to say, "You know what? I'm going fishing. I'm not sure where he's at. I'm not sure what he's doing in my life. He's asking Peter and he's asking you and I. And he's asking churches in America today, do you love Jesus to the point that your life shows it? Do you love Jesus to the point that you reflect him in your conversation, in your actions, in your dealings? Do you really love him to the point that on Monday through Saturday, your life reflects it and people know that you love him? That's what he's asking of Peter. Do you love me, Peter, to the point that you will let it show? Do you love me, Peter? Do you love me, Jim? Do you love me, Church of God? That you will allow me to work through you and let it show to the people all around you. Do you love me? I ask this question of myself and you this morning as Jesus asked Peter, not as some kind of a trick, not as a trick question, but to invite you, to really invite you today, friends, brothers and sisters, to really evaluate the idea, do you love Jesus? Do you love him to the point that you're willing to do whatever it is he's asked you to do? Go wherever it is that he's asked you to go. Do you really love him? Because if you do, if I do, if Peter did, then his reply to you and to me, to us, is then feed my sheep. Take care of my lambs, Jim. People of Jesus, Peter, take care of my lambs. I was reading in the Old Testament, and I'm reminded of God's conversation with his people, the Jewish people, the children of Israel, through Isaiah in chapter 1 of Isaiah. And I'm going to skip over some of it again because we don't have time to look at it all, but I want to pick it up in verse 13. God is talking to his people, and I'm going to read it from the Message translation. Maybe all don't have a Message translation, but I like it in this particular chapter. Listen to what it says. God to his people through Isaiah. Quit your worship charades. I can't stand your trivial religious games. Monthly conferences, weekly Sabbaths, special meetings, 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 meetings. I can't stand one more. Meetings for this, meetings for that. I hate them. You've worn me out, God says, with your meetings. I'm sick of your religion, 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 while you go right on sinning. God's message to his people. When you put on your next prayer performance, I'll be looking the other way, God says to his people. When you come to me in prayer, I'll not be listening. No matter how loud or long or often you pray, he says, I'll not be listening. And you know why? Because you've been tearing people to pieces. Your hands are bloody. Go home and wash up. Clean up your act. Sweep your lives clean of your evil doing so I don't have to look at them anymore, he says to his people. And I start to draw the analogy between when Peter is told, do you really love me? Then take care of my sheep. And this, what God is saying through Isaiah to his people. He concludes that little exchange by saying this, say no to wrong, people of God. Say no to sin. That's a novel idea, isn't it? Just because the world says it's okay doesn't mean God's people says it's okay, should say it's okay. Say no to wrong. Learn to do good. Work for justice. Help the down and out. Stand up for the homeless. Go to bat for the defenseless, God said to his people. Feed my sheep, Jesus said to Peter. Jesus says to me, Jesus saying to you, do you really love Jesus? Then feed my sheep. Did you know there are somewhere around 6.5 to 6.7 billion people in the world? You knew that, right? Did you also know that 3 billion of them are desperately poor, making less than $2 and $3 a day, some of them making less than a dollar a day? 3 billion. You say, Jim, I'm not sure that's my problem. I live here, they live there. When we follow Jesus, it is our issue because he says to us, feed my sheep. Did you know that in the world today there are 1 billion desperately hungry and many of them will die of starvation? Did you know that if you make $25,000 a year, you're in the 10% of the wealthiest people on earth? If you make $50,000, which isn't all that much in today's standards, America's average is nearly that. It's not quite, but you're in the top 1% of the world. God challenges his people. Work for justice. help the down and out, stand up for the homeless, and go to bed for the defenseless. And I look at these verses that Isaiah wrote, and I'm wondering about the heart of God. I see what it is about these people. I'm wondering about the heart of God for me, and about for you, and about for churches in America today, when he says, stop your worship charades. I can't stand these religious games anymore. I'm wondering what he thinks about us in American churches today. I'm wondering about the heart of God when he says, I'm sick of your religion while you go off sinning. And I'm wondering, is that how we are loving the Lord? In that kind of way? Is that how we're loving Jesus in America, in our churches today? Is that how I love Jesus? Is that how you love him? For some reason, I don't think this is what Jesus meant when he spoke to Peter about loving him more than these. I think he was talking about loving him so much it called him to action. You see, friends, we cannot love Jesus the way he wants us to until we get self and things out of the way. That's why he said to them the first thing, Peter, do you love me more than these? Do you really love me first, Peter, Jim, and churches in America? Have we gotten self and things out of the way to really love the Master? Because if we can answer yes, then he says to me, to Peter, to you, to the churches in America, then feed my sheep. Take care of my lambs. Or do we just love Jesus on Sunday morning? And the rest of the week we look and act like the world. I'm thinking that's not what he's asking of Peter. His request to Peter was to love him enough that he did something about it. 66% of the world, which is about 4.5 billion, have no attachment to Christianity. Don't claim to be Christians. And I wonder if we in the American church today are okay with that statistic. Don't know Jesus. You know what the Bible says? If we don't know Christ in a personal way, having surrendered our all to him, we won't be in heaven with him. And I wonder if that bothers us in the church today, that 4.5 billion have no claim to Jesus whatsoever. You say, Jim, well, I get to church. I even give some money. Matter of fact, I'm even going to give a few dollars to the old Gideon guy here today. He's talking about a love so radical. When he says, Peter, do you love me more than these? He's talking about a love so radical, it changes us. From the heart out. A love so radical, I'm not the person I used to be. You're not the people we used to be, because we have allowed Jesus to take our lives and transform them. Why? Because we love him. The way he's challenging Peter. A love so radical that our lives, Monday through Saturday, praise him and worship him, and your co-workers and your neighbors know you have been with Jesus because of that radical love for Jesus. Peter was a fisherman. I wasn't much different. You weren't much different when he called you. Peter was not born an evangelist. Peter wasn't born a preacher. Peter wasn't even born a zealot for the Jews. But when he came to really love Jesus, he became all of them for Jesus. James 1:26-27 says, anyone who set, this is also from the Message, anyone who sets himself up as religious by talking a good game is self-deceived. This kind of religion is hot air. You see why I like the Message translation every now and then? That's pretty plain, isn't it? This kind of religion is hot air, and only hot air. Real religion, the kind that passes muster before God the Father, is this: reach out to the homeless and loveless in their plight, and guard against corruption from the godless world. Love of Jesus, friends, today means action. Did you know there was a homeless gal here and her two children last week? Did you know there's homeless people around us? Did you know there's hungry people around you? And there's millions of them in the world that are dying. Did you know 26,500 children will die today from malnutrition? 26,500 today and tomorrow and Tuesday and Wednesday and every day until the church steps up to do something about it. You say, Jim, that's in a far off place, in a far off land. Did we see what God just told the children of Israel? Did we see what Peter was just told by Jesus? Then feed my sheep. Sometimes that means literally. Sometimes that means looking beyond myself to the needs of the world around us. Love of Jesus needs to take on some action from the Church of God today. I just read this book. Did I mention that? I maybe mentioned that earlier. I just read this book by Richard Stearns, president of A World Vision. The Hole in the Gospel. H-O-L-E. Tremendous book. If you want to read it, I'll borrow it to you. But he says this, God is sick and tired of churches and people in churches who are just going through the motions. That's exactly what Isaiah said in Isaiah chapter 1. Today we have the affluence in America that's unparalleled in the history of the world. And children are dying 26,500 a day because they don't have nothing for their tummy. Some of you have been in some places that break your heart. In Haiti, you know what they're doing to eat nowadays? Hundreds of people in Haiti throwing a little butter and a little salt in some mud and eating the mud. That's all they got. That's what Richard Stearns, president of the World Vision, is talking about. Jesus is asking, I believe, churches in America today and this church and you and me, do you love me? Do you really love me? And if we dare answer yes, then he says to you, feed my sheep. Feed my lambs. Take care of my sheep in some form or another. Tell your neighbor about Jesus. You're talking about that in this morning's Sunday school class, weren't you? Take care of that homeless lady that you encounter with her little ones. Dennis and Monticello, they don't have a lot of money right now. He's laid off. They were willing to take this lady to her mom's clear back in Moorhead. I believe that Jesus is saying to the church in America, if you love me, please feed my sheep. Please tell your neighbors about Jesus. Please help those that are downtrodden, those that are less fortunate than we are. You say, Jim, I thought I'm saved. I thought the Bible says I'm saved through faith. That's true. The Bible does say that. But remember, too, what James said about faith with no works. Remember what he said about that? Pretty explicit, wasn't he? It's dead. If my faith has no action behind it, it is dead faith. And I believe that Jesus is calling us today. He's calling me. I know he is. And I believe he's calling you and I and the churches in America. Feed my sheep if you love me. And we can rationalize about Ephesians 2, 8 and 9 because we oftentimes say, well, I'm not saved by works, Jim. I'm saved by faith. That's what Ephesians 2, 8 says. But do you know why it says that? Then we got to look at verse 10 because here's what it says. For we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works. That's why we're saved. For good works, for the kingdom of God. Jesus is asking the church today, and you and I as individuals, do you really love me? Do you really love me? And if the answer is yes, then he says, do something for the kingdom. For the kingdom of the lost folks, the hungry folks, the homeless folks, the lonely folks, the dying folks. He's saying, do something for my kingdom. Church in America, Church of God. There's a lot of good things that's happening in America, and I thank God for it. There's a lot of good things that you all are doing. We've just heard from the Gideons, and Al isn't the only Gideon here. We've got Gideons in our own congregation that do a lot of good things. And Dale and Carla are in prison ministry, and some of you have expressed an interest in that. And Marie is on a board to Nepal still, I trust. Are you? Or she knows about Nepal anyway. And she knows about the plight of the children in Nepal that are thrown out as yesterday's refuse to die in the streets. And my sister Karen, who's here today with us, knows about World Vision and how to sponsor children. And Marie is working with missions within the Free Methodist Church, and we have programs in the Free Methodist Church to sponsor children. Just a few dollars a month helps them live. And I'm so thankful to you for what some of you are doing. You've stepped it up time and time again when we've had funerals in our own community and we've had to help love our neighbor as ourself. And I want to encourage us today, this is post-resurrection, brothers and sisters. Prior to the disciples knowing he was resurrected, they were hiding behind the doors, afraid. Where is my Jesus? Where is my Savior? This is post-resurrection. The tomb is empty. He is alive. He is resurrected. He is sitting at the right hand of God, and He has enabled us. He has encouraged us, and He has commanded us to love Him with all of our heart, to feed His sheep out there in the highways, in the byways, in the deserts, in the jungles of life. You say, Jim, I got a ministry here in my own backyard I haven't taken care of. Then let's take care of that. Let's recognize what His challenge to Peter was. Feed my sheep. There's a wonderful organization here in Brainerd called LAPS. Debbie Blowers can tell you more about that. Even in her busyness, she wants to visit, she wants to help them. And many of you are doing things, helping with the homeless and helping with the food shelf. And there's a guy in church, this is no exaggeration. He calls me twice a week and he says, Jim, got anything I can do this week? Feed my sheep, Jesus said. And I'm so thankful and so proud of you all for what you do. But there's a lot of work to do. And Jesus is calling us today and challenging us, just like He did Peter. And first of all, He's saying, do you love me? And if the answer is yes, then He's saying, then please do something about it. Let's pray. Father, You gave us everything. You gave us Your all. You gave us Your best. You gave us Jesus to take care of our sin, to make us whole, to cleanse us, to wash us from the unrighteousness and help us to be righteous before You. If we will place our faith in You and invite Jesus into our life, we are changed people. And Father, maybe there's someone here today that's wondering about, do I even know Jesus the way that this preacher is talking about? Have I invited Him into my life? Father, I pray that Your Spirit would talk to them. I pray that Your Spirit would touch their hearts and knock on their hearts. And if they would just simply open their heart to You today and say, Jesus, please come into my life. Please forgive me. Please take over. Father, I know that You'll do it. And so if there is somebody here today, even one that doesn't love Jesus in the way You asked Peter and You asked us, I pray that we would avail ourselves to You, Heavenly Father, today. Avail ourselves to You, Lord Jesus, today. And Father, for the rest of us that claim the name of Jesus and say, yes, yes, I'm a Christian. Yes, I know Christ as Lord and Savior of my life. Then, Father, I pray that You'll challenge us in a new way this week, today and this week, that we might feel the urgency to feed Your sheep, to love our neighbor as ourselves, to give a helping hand to somebody that needs it, to show the love of Jesus to the lost and hurt and dying all around us, to simply be there for somebody that's down and out. Father, Forgive us for our complacency and our vision of self. Please help us to awaken to your Spirit and feed your sheep. I pray in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.